Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes, known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reimbold, back again. And this is the House of Ephraim show. Do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in. This show is Mark Reimbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out, because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the Corn Patch. And you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on. And you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv, and we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service, and we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard.
Now let me say that again. We are either going to kill them or they're going to kill us. They are commissioned to kill us. That's what their Bible, the Quran, teaches them, that they are to kill all of the infidels, hello infidels, according to their definition, that are on the face of this earth and cleanse the land so that it will be pure for them and their religion. And now let me tell you something. Any time that any other religion makes no room for anybody else's religion, that religion needs to be hung. That's all there is to it. The world can't evolve like that. You know, I told the Muslims one time when I was on the island of Mauritius, and they had come and they were going to they was going to kill me, and they came in and they lined this back gate, and I told the story pretty simple. I had been in India and I went down to this island in the middle of the Indian Ocean called Mauritius, and usually I always study, and I got down there and found out it was 98 or almost 99% Muslim. And I didn't know that. Didn't know that till after all this happened. Went in there and had a tremendous meeting the first night. The second night, the gates open, and through the gates come a whole bunch of guys dressed in white with white turbans on their heads with what are those called? Those Russian 47s. There you go, AK-47. And there they were, lined up against the back of that wall. And the little guy with me, Jean-Claude Supin, turned white. And he's not a white man. And I looked at him and I said, "Are we in trouble?" And he said, "I think we're in a heap of trouble." He said, I think we can sneak you out the back, get you to the airport, and get you out on the next flight." I looked around. It didn't look to me like, other than scaling the wall, was the only way to get out of that way. And I said, "Well, let's have a powwow." And he said, "A powwow?" I said, "Oh, yeah, you know." I said, "Let's all sit down at the table and negotiate this thing." He said, "You don't understand, Prophet. They're not here to negotiate. They're here to kill you." I said, "Well, you know," I said, "it's worth a try." And I said, "I don't think it's time for me to go home yet, but if it is, praise be to God, I can get out of all this mess and, you know, go rest." And so, anyway, so I said, "Go talk to him." So talk to him. We got in this little room. They leaned those big old guns against the wall and sat down. All had to be done through interpretation. So he said, "Well, what do I want to say to him?" And I said, "You tell them that, bless God, that what kind of religion is this that, bless God, that makes people become who they are? What's that? At least we give people choice with Christianity." Well, he asked it, and the guy came back with, "It wasn't any of our business, my business, that's the way that their religion was, and that's the way all religion should be, and the night was going to be that I was going to become a Muslim or I was going to die." He looked at me and he said, "Now what do you want to say to him?" And I said, "You tell the guy that's running his mouth there," which must have been the head, whatever he was, I said, "You tell that little sawed-off character right there," I said, you tell him that the prophet said that if he'll come up there and sit down on that big old stage with me tonight, and when I get done, if his God can do what my God does, that I will become a Muslim in front of him, my God, his God, and all them people." He said, "He'll never do that." I said, "Tell him." And that fool said yes. You're talking about God intervening. I said, "Okay." So we got out there, and he got up there, and he sat there in the back and had his gun. Bless God, was sitting there in that gun. He'd look, and you know, I'd look back every once in a while and go, "Oh, dear God in heaven." I got to preaching, and that cloud appeared. And bless God that everybody that came into the cloud, the time I got to the healing line, everybody that came to that cloud, that healing line would come out, that the cloud would come out of my mouth at that point and out of my hands and would consume the people, and I wouldn't even get to say Jesus. Everybody got healed. Everybody that came to the cloud got healed that night. When it got over, I heard all this noise and I turned around, and that little guy had stood up and threw his head covering on the floor and was jumping straight up and down on it. I said, "Jean-Claude, is this good news or bad news?" He said, "I think it's good news, but," he said, "I probably ought to go check." So he goes back there, and the guy settles down a little bit, and he comes back up, and I said, "What's the story?" And he said, "He was going to serve the God that the prophet served. His God could not do what my God just did." And that night, 250, I assume militant, I don't know what else you'd call them, they come with guns, militant Muslims gave their lives to Christ. Today, we have somewhere in the vicinity, and I haven't been back in there for a long time, and I would like to go, but I understand now they have got the count, instead of 98 and going on 99%, they got the count down to about 77 or 76% now Muslim, and now the Christians are starting to have a foothold, and I've been told that there's some pretty decent evangelists going in, and you never think about it, pray a little bit for that island, that bless God that they keep sending those pretty decent evangelists in, amen? But you see, there again, that is a work of the supernatural. I was in a bind. I was either going to be killed or God was going to have to move, and I knew that. So I you know, it doesn't bother me to think about being martyred. In fact, I must tell you, it rather pleases me to think that such would happen because I've read the book. All right? I don't think it would be any fun. Don't misunderstand me. But the thing of it is, they can kill my body, but they can't kill my spirit or yours. I know where I'm going, to heaven, and so do you. The fact of it is, am I in a hurry to get there? No, I'm not in a particular hurry to get there. But the fact of the matter is, when my time comes, and by the way, your time is appointed. Can you get a hold of that? Your time is appointed. So what do you suppose if our times are appointed by God, that Christian hospitals are full of Holy Ghost Christian people desperately hanging on to trying to live? What did I hear? Quiet, isn't it? What is this all about, folks? If our time is appointed of God, if our time is appointed of God, it isn't going to make any difference if you're roller skating down the middle of a jet airport or if you're sitting on this stage here. Your time is appointed. There's appointed a time to live. There's appointed a time to die. Trust God and know who He is. The rest of it isn't very hard to figure out, is it? And I'll tell you why it's not hard to figure out. It's not hard to figure out because God is in the business of doing what? He knows exactly the tomorrows from the today. We don't know that, do we? All we can do is trust and believe in Him. Let's go. I want to go to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. And try to talk about this being led of God business a little bit further. And how do you know? How do you know God's speaking to you? And how do you know God doesn't? See, some of us are timid enough that, bless God, it's a little tough. The third verse, 33:3 of Jeremiah says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Wow. Call upon me. Now, we're to call upon the Lord, and He said, "I'll answer you." Does God answer us? Absolutely. He's not a respecter of persons. What He does for one, He does for all, right? Will God answer? Yes, God, He said, "I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, are we at a point in time when we can use to know about great and mighty things? Amen. Are we at a point in time where, bless God, that we don't know? Well, of course we don't know, or we wouldn't be asking. Are we at a time when the leadership of the Ruach HaKodesh is going to be the difference as to whether we survive or not? Absolutely we are. So it is imperative for you and I to hear the voice of God. Now, I want to believe this with all, not the word all, everything that's in my heart. I want to believe that we're coming to a time when the prophets will stay the prophets. We will tell you what's coming to this earth. But I believe that we're going to come to a time when the prophets aren't going to be into the business of having to babysit and having to bring forth the body. Prophets are to bring the things of God. That's what we're to do. It's unfortunate. Honestly, the prophets should be able to come and give like I would come and talk about the bird flu. The teachers, the pastors, and the evangelists should be able to take that, teach into it, minister into it, and bless God and do the justice that needs to be done from the prophetic office, and the prophets move on and do whatever they need to do over there where they need to do it next. But what happens still today is the prophets still have to babysit. The prophets still have to demonstrate by the Spirit, by the anointing, what's going on. Folks, and the thing that tickles me about that, this is changing. It is changing because I have said for a long time, this last move of God is not going to be a one-man show. We've had so many one-man shows that we've been let down so many times and disappointed so many times. And bless God, and some of us have stumbled over those one-man shows. But now God is bringing us to the place where this thing is available to the body. This thing is going to be available to all of us. That you're going to be able to pray and God's going to be able to show you things that are to come. God's going to show you. God's going to tell you. Somebody said to me, said, "Well, now, Brother Deckard, now there are safe places that some prophets have said that God showed them that you can go to be in the United States. Where is your safe place?" I said, "Well, I guess the safest place I know is on my front porch. When the evening, the sun's going down, and me and my darling wife are sitting out there, and we're watching the sun go down, and the birds start to quit singing, and I said, I guess that's about the safest place I know." Oh, no, no, you don't understand, Brother Decker. We're talking about in case of a holocaust, of a nuclear holocaust, or even about this plague thing and all this. Where is it that God's told you to go? No place. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why would he say no place? I'm here to tell you why. Folks, I'm one of these kind of guys that if it need be, I'll be on the right street corner on the right day at the right time. You can be that way too. You know, listen to what I'm about to tell you. The fact of it is, my Bible says that the Lord God will guide you, huh? And He'll guide your footsteps, and He will not even let your foot slip. Isn't that what God says? Okay, so why would it be? Now let me tell you something, and grasp onto this if you don't get anything else this afternoon. Most of the time, you're being led by your spirit, and you don't have the foggiest idea what's going on. Most of the time. God will get you where He wants you when He wants you there. In His way, in His time. Why? Because He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And what I love about all of it, when you examine it all and you watch it, how many times is this thing, boy, am I glad I was there instead of over there. Well, you were there because why? Your spirit man, you are made in the image of God. We've been through that. And your spirit that's on the inside of you is constantly trying to work things out for you. As we talked about that this morning, the problem gets to being that one day you're speaking faith, the next minute you're speaking doubt and unbelief, and your spirit doesn't know exactly what most of the time He's supposed to be doing for you. Trying to heal you or trying to kill you. You know, yeah, well, you're the one that dictates to that. How do you dictate to that? By the way that you speak and by the actions in which you have. God wants you to understand that He is guiding you and He is going to lead you. You are to understand that, bless God, that you don't have to be the all spiritual one for that to happen. You know what you do? You trust in Him. Lord, I love You. I believe that You're guiding my footsteps. I believe that You're not going to let my foot, one of my feet even slip. I believe that, Lord. And because I believe that, Lord, I know without a shadow of turning that You're going to be more than able, more than capable of taking care of me and mine. Now, you prayed that prayer. Now we begin to look at the circumstances, don't we? What was it the Lord said to Peter when Peter wanted to get out of the boat? Come on, Peter. Come on, come on out here. Oh, Peter, he just crawled out of the boat. Started walking on that water. Out across there he went. The Bible said all of a sudden he must have looked around. And the Bible didn't say that part, but anyway, he looked around and the waves were boisterous and all of a sudden he got his eyes and what happened? He began to sink, didn't he? But you know the important part is Peter walked on that water, didn't he? Peter defied the law of this earth. And that's what we're going to go after. That's what we're going to go after in this evening service is the laws of the law of this earth and the supernatural law of God. And there are two separate laws that absolutely control within both of those elements. And we're going to teach you about that, and I'm going to teach you why most of the time your prayers aren't answered. It's because you don't understand how that kingdom works. And you don't understand the laws of the kingdom of God. That they're altogether different. They work by a set of rules, just as the rules that operate here on this earth work. And we'll get after that at 7 tonight, and hopefully we can get you some understanding about that. Now, you can understand what God is saying to you every time. John 16:13. And people say, well, you don't think anybody can hear from God but you. Oh, no. No, you better understand something. I believe God's speaking to us, each of us, every day. All the time, as a matter of fact. Our thing is to begin to do what? Is begin to listen. Now listen, howbeit, 13th verse, 16th chapter, John, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Okay? He will guide you into all truth. But whosoever shall, he shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. There again is things to come. The Spirit of truth. Who is the Spirit of truth? It's God Himself. He's going to show us what? Things to come. So we're really not, we just need to learn to listen. We learn. Now listen, we need to learn to develop the spirit man. And if we'll learn to develop the spirit man, and can we? Yes, we can learn to develop the spirit man. You have to understand that, bless God, that the spirit man in you knows. He knows. You don't know, and the reason you don't know, you're trying to work through the soulish realm, and the soulish realm is only in contact with the things, the laws that govern this earth. All right? The super and the supernatural laws of God, they guide and absolutely demand within themselves the connection into the supernatural world. And the key, of course, is to understand which is which, how to operate in them. And bigger than that is learn how to tell your flesh man to shut up and get in the back seat. Your spirit is going to drive your life. And that is the key to this thing. And once you walk into that, you can begin to understand it. Yeah, now listen, when you begin to listen and then obey the Holy Ghost, you'll understand that He'll guide and show you into some things that you didn't even know that was there. Now, a lot of times people begin to do something that I think gets kind of silly. They begin to say, God, I don't know what your will is, but I'm going to go over here and if this whole wall was doors, and behind one of those doors, let's say there's 10, 20 doors down through there, and behind one of those doors is the perfect will of God for your life. And what you've got to do is say, oh God, show me that door. And people ask me all the time, well, how do you know the will of God? I say, the will of God's easy to find. They look at me and they say, well, how could that be easy to find? And I said, well, you know, what you do is you go to door number one. When it doesn't open, don't pry it open. Just go to door number two. If that didn't work, go to door number three. He said, that's the way you do that? I said, yeah, most of the time that's exactly the way I do it. Most of us get hung up on door number one because we're so satisfied that that's what God's telling us to do, that we'll take a crowbar, spiritual crowbar, and spiritually crowbar that door open. We'll go in that door and we'll say, whew, this is the will of God. And then when it doesn't work out, the next thing we do, oh, the devil, don't we? Well, the devil come in, Brother Deckard. That's what I mean. I said, you want to tell you something? The devil you have defeated. He is under our feet. Again, your biggest problem, my biggest problem, is this thing that sits right up here on our shoulders, this noggin up here, this mind. Your mind will dictate you to the point that will take away from you everything that God's trying to give to you. Why? Because it just doesn't make sense. Let's use some common sense with this. Folks, the kingdom of God is not run by common sense. And that, again, is what so often causes us so many headaches, because we are trying to make a carnal understanding and carnal decisions against supernatural laws of which we don't have any idea, in most of our cases, how they work or why they work. But we're trying to, you know, well, I can understand that. You know, why you take this and you do that. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now, I gave some illustration to that, and it would bear to give just a little more of it to you now. When we were praying for the people that needed prayer today for their bodies, and there were some outstanding things that happened here again this morning, bless God, again, in the natural, for those of you, let's see, we had somebody here that had some back problem, and God helped that out, some neck problems and whatever else happened. But you see, in the natural, your mind, your soulish man would say, you better go get an operation. Soulish man, okay? Now, your carnal, your spirit man is saying, just believe God. Just believe God. God will, you know, believe the Word, pray the Word, stand on the Word, and it'll come to pass. Now, who wins out? Well, 9 out of 10, who wins out is the soulish man. Why? Because you got to live with him, right? And because he's dictating to you, you do that. Now, what happened in all this thing when God brought some of these healings here today? Was that we reached out and we reached past the law of understanding about the soulish man. We reached over into the supernatural realm, and we were able to simply, through the name of Yeshua, the power of God's anointing, let the yoke be destroyed, and they were set free. Now what we have done is we were led by the Spirit of God to enter over into that realm. And when you enter into that realm and you do those things and do them in the order that they're to be done in, what happens? Great success comes. Great success comes from because of the fact that that's the way God operates. See, God is not in the business of saying no. And I don't think a lot of us understand that about God. God is not in the business of saying no. What God is in the business of is being God. And he set a few things down and said, look, if you'll do them this way and that way, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to fix this thing, bless God, where you can, you know, where you can actually get into this and understand it and make it work for you each and every day. And folks, that's what is exciting. As you determine that you'll not be dominated by your physical senses, and you've got to determine that. You've got to whack your bless God, your flesh, folks. You're just time, you know, I told the story about this morning about the duct tape and how I told the Lord that I would, at least when I get to heaven, it would be knowing that Deckard went one 24-hour period and spoke no doubt and unbelief. I duct taped my mouth, didn't I? Well, at least, bless God, I can say that. I mean, and now, but you know what I found out had to happen? You got to work on that. You got to work on it. 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 You got to keep putting your flesh under you. You got to keep telling your flesh, shut up! You got to keep saying, look, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not the way the thing works with God. That's just the way this old body operates. And that's what you got to learn to do. And when you learn to do that, what? You will begin to grow. Now, you notice I didn't say you would be all growing up in 10 minutes. I said, then you begin to grow. Then you begin to experience the things of God. And through experiencing the things of God, the next thing that happens to you, you're going, wow. God really done that. Wow. Look what He did. Look what's taken place. Look how this happened. And then all of a sudden you'll find people looking at you going, yeah, well, yeah, right. You know why they're going to say that? They can't walk there and they know they can't. So they believe that you're standing there lying through your teeth to them about what it is that's taken place. How do I know? Because I've been there. Been there far too many times. Most of the ministry today on this earth believes that God can heal. Very few of them have healing ministries, and so therefore, when you go around and say, well, we went to such and such church and these people were all healed, they go, yeah, well, that's wonderful, isn't it? And in their mind, they go, nah, that didn't really happen because it doesn't happen in my church. Well, I got news for you. What happens in your church happens in your church. What happens in my church happens in my church because I'm trying to follow the leadership of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. That's where the difference is. Now, must you be led by the Spirit to understand how that you need to be and what you need to prepare for in this last day? Yes, of course you do. And you're going to have to let your spirit man, bless God, begin to dictate to you. Now, let me tell you something. You can get in tune with your spirit man to such a degree that you can know many, many things. Now, you can ask Donna. When I was in Phoenix, Donna, when I called you and you were coming down here to have church that night, I said, watch for the deer. And so Donna, she got off the phone, drove down here, and sure enough, there were some deer in the road. Now, did I do that every time I called Donna? No. Did I know that in particular? No. It came up out of me. Now, remember when Paul said, my spirit prayeth always. Your spirit man, once you can bring your spirit man into subjection, I mean your flesh into subjection to your spirit man. Now, let me say that again. Your flesh into subjection to your spirit man. And get your flesh to shut up. Now, tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about shutting your flesh up. And that ain't going to be no fun. All right? Because we're going to go into some depths about fasting. And that's the way you shut your... You'll shut your flesh man up real quick. Because after about 3 days of fasting, your flesh is going to decide he's dying. And after about 5 days, he'll quit screaming. Just give up to be dead. Then you can get down to some work for God. For you people that never fasted 21, 30 days or 40 days, then bless God, I'm going to tell you something. You better strap on the Holy Ghost and get ready because you're about to go for a ride. This thing's not going to work, bless God, out here just volunteering to be spiritual. There is certain things that's got to happen in certain orders and certain times, and fasting to bring yourself into this kingdom just happens to be one of them, all right? And we're going to cover that in the morning. But when you bring yourself into those places, then you're going to begin to realize that God is not only going to bring you there, but He is going to catapult you there. And when I talk about catapult, I'm talking about that you get your place in a place where, bless God, I'm going to tell you something, the phone can hardly ring at my house because I'll be talking to Donna and I'll be telling her 15, 20 minutes, such and such. I said, boy, we haven't heard from them for a while, have we? Or the phone will ring and I'll be in the room. I'll say, that's Stephen. How do I know those things? Well, you discern them. Let me tell you something. My spirit man is in tune. And yes, it is discernment, but my spirit man is in tune. How do you think I knew all that was going on in this room today? My spirit man is in tune with the Spirit of God. It isn't that I just walk around, oh, I think this might, ooh, I mean, no, no. My spirit man is in tune. I have learned how to interpret in the spirit realm what my spirit is saying and has to come through my mind, so I've got to be able to run that through my mind so I can understand it. Most of what happens to us is when our spirit starts talking, our minds take over. And that's not the way this works. It works in the fact that our spirit has to dominate. And once your spirit gets to the point that it will dominate, then the rest of all of it works out real, real well. And then you can begin. Then you can begin to know. Then you will begin to know. You'll begin to know when God says, listen, I want you to go to such and such. And let me tell you the other way it'll work. You may be just going to such and such, and after you get there, you're going, thank God I showed up here when I did. It never happens by chance. But you understand something. I think one of the great mistakes that we're having is people are wanting to hear a voice. And what I'm trying to do this afternoon with you to understand, being led by the Spirit of God doesn't necessarily mean you're going to hear God say, thus saith God. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not that. But we've got so much of that that's going on, brothers and sisters, that I believe that it's very difficult to get to the Spirit. I believe we've got so much of it going on that I think that a lot of it's erroneous. That, bless God, that is a figment of somebody's imagination, somebody's mind is going. Let me tell you why. And I go back to the same thing again I mentioned this morning. If in fact hearing from the Lord, the Word of God, or hearing from God, is so simple, then why is it that Samuel didn't know who God was the first time God spoke to him? Well, he was just a boy. That don't have anything to do with it. Why was it? Because he didn't know the voice of God. The voice of God is something to be learned. Something to be learned. It is not automatic. At the same time that you're hearing this voice, there are other voices out there. See, the thing that I'm afraid that's happened to us, that we believe that somehow, since we're now Christians filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, that, bless God, that the powers of darkness cannot infiltrate that world. That the powers of darkness can't come to us as a angel of light. And that, bless God, that we're impregnable with that. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't even be further from the truth. Why is it that that Satan came to the Lord, you know, when he went on the fast and after those days and he hungered, and the Satan come to him and told him, he said, if you'll serve me, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. How could Satan have spoken unto the Son of Almighty God? Now, how come, you know, when you say, well, he knew that was the devil. Well, okay, that's fine and dandy. But at the same time, you got to understand something. He was being spoken to. You and I are being spoken to. You're being spoken to every day. God is speaking to you now. God is in this room. We also have in this room with us powers of darkness in this room. Now, we bound the powers of darkness up before we begin to minister in the name of Yeshua, name of Jesus, the proper thing to do, all right? But they are still here. They are still available if called upon, okay? So you and I have to understand that. You got to understand that you can't see into that world unless God lets you see into it. But we know that it's there, and the fact that it's there, folks, we have got to grasp hold of the fact that there are two voices going on within that world. Why would Satan not want to try to convince you that you're hearing from God? He's lost your soul, right? You're a child of God. You're not going to burn in hell. You're going to go to heaven forevermore. What is the next thing that he has to be able to do, if anything? Does he just leave us? Does he just leave us and that's the end of it? Well, now, if he leaves us, it's only for a season, the Bible teaches. The fact of it is that what he's doing is, if he can't, you know, he's lost your soul, but he can't get you, let you stay on the track of being able to develop your spiritual side, because after all, you're first made in the image of God, spirit. So it's very natural and normal for you to want to communicate with your spiritual father, all right? Spirit to spirit, as the Bible says. Why would he not want to get in the middle of that and make you think that you're bless God, that you're receiving from God and you're really receiving to him? Because he can come to you as an angel of light. Now, let me tell you this story. One time, a number of years ago, a lot of years ago now, this sister come to me and said, Brother Decker, God has spoken to me and told me to move to, I think it was Michigan. I'm not real sure, but we'll use Michigan. And I said, oh, I said, okay. I said, well, that's wonderful. I said, God, where are you going when you get up there? Well, I don't know. God said he would speak to me when I get to Michigan. That sounded to be spiritual enough to me. That sounded like something right out of the book. I said, well, praise God, sister. You know, you're not going to come to me very often unless it's so far off the wall, like the Father coming down in a portable throne. Now, if it gets that far off the wall, I'm going to tell you right there on the spot, there's a door, get out of here. I don't want to hear such junk as that. But the fact of it is, if you come to me and you begin to tell me these stories, see, it's not my place to be your God. I get people all the time writing me and saying, well, Brother Decker, tell me if I'm supposed to take this job and not take that job. Well, it's not my place to tell you what job to take. See, again, he's God. You pray to him and see what he says. And I'll tell you why. Number one, even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you, because I'm going to tell you something. 9 times out of 10, you'll monkey the thing up, and it'll end up being my fault anyway. Well, I wouldn't take it. That he's a false prophet. It didn't. No, I'm not that foolish. I'm not into it. So anyway, the gal, she gathered up her children. She was a single mom, and she moved to the place she was going to, and we didn't think anything about it. She came to service, hugged everybody's neck, and she left. About 2 weeks went by, and the phone rang, and she was on the other end crying. Oh, Brother Deckard, she said, the devil got in the middle of this thing, and it's just terrible. She said, I don't have any money. I need to come back down there. I thought, really? Really? The devil got in the middle of it. See, we want to protect our spirituality so badly that what we'll do is blame everything on the devil, right? Well, he needs it blamed on him anyway. But the fact of it is, not everything's the devil's fault. Now, did the gal hear God tell her to go to Michigan? No. And I'll tell you why he didn't. Because if he had told her to go to Michigan, he would have told her, if he told her, when you get there, I'll guide you from there, then he would have guided her from there. She got there, didn't have anywhere to stay, her and the kids slept in the car, ran out of money, and made a collect phone call to me to see if I'd give her money, and so she'd get down here. Of course, I wouldn't give her a dime. Yes, I did. You expected me to say that, didn't you? Come on, you expected me to say, I don't mean poverty, never give. No, we sent the sister and the kids the money, and they came back, and it wasn't long till she said, you know, she said, I wish you'd have just said I should go. And I said, honey, you didn't say, would you pray and believe God with me? You come and said, God had told you. And I said, you know something? It's not my place to be your God. It's not my place. I said, I'm sorry you went through that. I said, I know my spirit. It didn't set my spirit. But I said, you're saying you heard God. And the only way we're going to know in this life whether or not God is really speaking to us is to go do what it is we think God is telling us to do, right? Now, if it works out, then we can say, hey, that was God. Now, listen to me. If it doesn't work out, don't get stupid. All right? Don't blame the devil. Well, bless God, Brother Decker, the devil got in the middle of it. No. Just say, you know, I think I miss God in this thing. Because then, let me tell you what you then. Then you can go back and try to find out if you miss God, where it was at, and try to get it straightened up. On the other thing, you're just going to go out here. Now people call me, used to call me and say, now, Brother Decker, God's telling me I'm supposed to go prophesy and tell such and such this. What do you think? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, you're supposed to discern and tell us whether it's God or not. I said, oh, I don't have to do that. He said, well, why not? And I said, well, you go prophesy. You'll find out soon enough whether God sent you. I said, you don't have to have a prophet judge that. I said, just go do it. If it's God, it'll work. If it isn't, bless God, it'll fall to the ground. Now, that's being led or not led by the Spirit of God. We have to know that God speaks to us. And I hope that you don't misunderstand that. See, again, I'm not up here trying to tell you, well, God doesn't speak to you but once every third, whatever, quarter. No. God speaks every day. Say, God speaks to me. Come on, God speaks to me. Every day. And he does. The key is to make sure that we can get all this junk out of the way to make certain that the God of heaven that we serve is speaking to us and we're hearing what he's saying. Now, and let me close with this this afternoon. What I would suggest that you do is begin with this thing in small ways. You've got to get faithful in little things before God gives you bigger things. Amen? I mean, that is the way the book reads. What I would suggest is you do this, for those of you that bless God that know that I have actually preached to your bucket this afternoon, that bless God that you go back and you listen. And when you think you've had God tell you something, go see if he's saying you need to call such and such. You know, people call me and say, well, now, Brother Decker, God just spoke to me and told me to call you that you bless God, you're just going through a terrible time. I said, well, maybe there's another T.E. Deckard somewhere, and maybe you need to call them because I'm not going through a terrible time. Oh, now, Brother Deckard, you must be because that's what God told me. And I said, no. And I said, I reject that in the name of Yeshua. I won't receive that into my spirit or my mind in Yeshua's name because I'm not going through a hard time. I'm going through just a fine time. Well, I don't know what I must have heard. And I said, well, I don't know what you must have heard either, but you better pray again. Because I want to tell you, don't be letting people put stuff on you that's not the truth. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let people be telling you that you're supposed to be an evangelist over in Russia. And you go out here and try, and folks, it happens every day. People are out here backing their bags trying to think. I ran into a gal not too long ago that was trying to get where, Donna? Where was she trying to get to? Do you remember? She was trying to get somewhere on the other side of the world, and I said, God told her to go, and I said, well, that's wonderful. And she said, well, I don't have any money. I said, well, that's definitely going to be a problem. And I said, unless you're in the translation. Well, she said, I know God told me to go. And I said, well, honey, then just wait. Be patient. And see if that's what come to find out, some preacher told her. And I said, honey, maybe he didn't know what he was talking about. Well, now, Brother Deckard, I believe he's a man of God. I said, well, that don't have anything to do with whether he's a man of God. If he missed God, then bless God, you're going to get on this side of the world and you're going to be in a bigger pickle than you ever dreamed about being in. You don't want to be taking other people. Now listen, out of the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses, every word is established. Please understand that. Do you want to know something? Before I received, even though I knew in my heart I was called to minister, I waited to get the witness of three people that I did not know, that I knew that did not know me. Three people. I spoke a little bit about the one, I think, last night when I went to that big tent meeting and that old man called me out of that great big crowd and began to prophesy over me about being a prophet. Now, the fact of it is, that was one, and then I waited and there came two, and then there came three of people that I could never have crossed my path, could never have known what was going on. That's the way that you know that what you're hearing. See, there's a way to test the Spirit. The Bible talks about testing the Spirit. You need to learn to test these things that are coming to you. The quickest way to do those things, though, is to pick the phone up or go directly to whatever that's at, if at all possible, and confront whatever is going on and see right off. And if it is, then thank God that is. Now, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. One of the big problems is this flesh right here. Because, oh my, if you hear God say, go down the street and pray for such and such, that's going to be, you know, and it's not, that's going to hurt the old ego. Let it hurt the ego. Probably good for you. Now, let me tell you this story. When I was very young, had not even entered into teaching in a Sunday school class yet, in the first church I was in, I was hearing God quite frequently about a lot of things, okay? And bless God, and I'm saying this because I want you to know, for those of you that, and confusion is not a God, but somehow this afternoon may have felt a little has come in. We can deal with that here in a few minutes. But I want you to know that it is, again, something to be learned. I'm in this church, okay? And of course, they have not quite noticed the prophet that I am, okay? That always seems to happen to us loudmouths every time, you know what I mean? And so there I am, and I'm not being noticed very well, and yet I'm, you know, I've got all the answers for the prep. My pastor's only pastored for 40 years, but, you know, I mean, after all, you know, yeah, you know. And so you get to that. You go through those stages. They're growing stages. And bless God, so I'm in that stage. I'm in what I call the brat stage. You know, where all I do is yell and carry on until somebody pays a little attention to me. And so I'm in the stage. You need to listen to that set of tapes if you want to get woke up a little bit. And anyway, I'm in that stage, and so I had just received some revelation from God, and I passed it on to one of the brethren, and they said, amen, Brother Decker. And I'm telling you, I've just done arrived. They just don't know. Why don't those people understand that I'm here? Why don't they start coming and talking to me when they want to know something? The pastor, he's not all that spiritual. Now, what a bunch of baloney. Said, you acted that way? Oh, it got worse than that. Next Sunday comes. I'm sitting in the pew, and I said, oh, Lord, reveal to me. Reveal unto thy servant. Sounds good, doesn't it? Reveal unto thy servant what it is that I might be able to say to one of the members today. Now listen, now let me show you the crossover. And I hear the same voice that I thought I heard tell me, to talk to the brother that said, right on, Brother Deckard. Spoke to me about a little lady up front. Been in depression she had. Her hero was about to come to her rescue. As soon as church was over, I marched myself up to the front, making sure that there were some of the brethren and sistern close by so that they would understand that the upcoming man of God was on the spot. I said, Sister! I said, the Lord God would reveal to me while we were in service today that you have been going through quite a place of depression. And I just, she said, just a minute, Brother Deckard. I said, what's wrong? She said, Brother Deckard, I reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. She said, I'm not depressed, never been depressed, and I don't intend to be depressed. Now she said, you repent right now in the name of Jesus for saying, now these people that I was wanting to impress are all hearing this. I'm going, shh, shh, shh. Now let me tell you something. The Lord God's got a way of letting the air out of the balloon, okay? And He let the air all the way out of my balloon. I went home. That was a morning service. I didn't even go to church that night. No. I said, Lord, erase that from them people's minds. It happens, folks. It happens. And I tell those stories because I'm not perfect. And bless God, I'm going to tell you something. I've been in this thing for 30 years. I've made mistakes. I can make more mistakes right here this evening. I don't intend to. The only thing that you've got going for me is that I have open visions and none of them have ever fallen to the ground. The thing that you may have going against you is that I'm just about as cantankerous as any old prophet ever thought about being. And the other thing you got to understand is I come the hard way. I didn't come with a silver spoon in my mouth. I've got to pray and seek the face of God and bring every nickel that comes into this organization. We feed kids all around this world. Bless God, I got people right now. I got more kids to feed and I got money to get them fed. The fact of it is that, bless God, that I understand. Now I know. But I look back on all that, and that's the reason I can tell you that learning to hear from God is a skill to be learned. It is not something that happens to us automatically because we decide to get saved, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and show up in church. But you will grow up. Amen? You will grow up. And I'm going to tell you, the neat thing about it all is God loves us so much that He will not throw us out of school. All right? And we'll talk somewhat about the testing process in which God's got this evening. And I want you to understand that the way God has got to find out how much we know is He tests us. And He permits us to be tested. And He finds out. If you want to start shooting your mouth off, bless God, you're going to find out if you believe what you thoroughly think you believe. That's the way God operates. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, I love you, Lord.
Hey, thank you so much, Prophet Deckard. Again, you can get a hold of us at the website, www.jewishprophet.com, and you can find out, again, all this material that you're hearing taught every day, every week. Folks, you want to get out there and start taking a look at that and start ordering that material because you need to get a hold of that and start to apply that into your life so that it will change your life. You know what? You can also email your prayer requests to cradle@jewishprophet.com. We'll be praying for your prayer requests. Shalom until tomorrow, and remember, with God, all things are possible.
Adon Olam Asher Malach בטרם כל יציר נברא את נעשה בחפצו כל עדיין מלך שמו נקרא